This is the negative volition that accumulates on the earth towards the end of the millennium, and there is all this humanity that's in a state of unbelief, and the casting of Satan in the lake of fire, the resurrection of all unbelievers, the dissolution of the present creation, and the great white throne judgment. We went over that last time. After this, God creates a new heaven, new earth, which event begins the eternal phase of the kingdom on earth. The thrust of the study is to provide evidence that the subjects of the eternal phase of the kingdom are redeemed humanity from the millennial phase. Now, this is another twist on this and another development. We dealt with the disposition of all unbelievers that end up the millennial era under the baptism of fire. They are destroyed from the earth. That does not answer the question, which we will get to. With regard to those who are in the millennium and who are believers, who become believers during the 1,000 years. Further, it will be shown that humanity in the eternal phase consists of two distinct categories. Excuse me. Namely, resurrected saints from the preceding dispensations, age of the Gentiles, age of Israel, church age, and tribulation, not including the millennium, that will reside in the New Jerusalem, and humanity existing in a state very similar to that of Adam and Eve before they sinned. Which takes us back to God's plan was not to put Adam and Eve in the garden and set them up for failure. They failed of their own free will, individually, and brought the human race into this state of spiritual death with all of its woes. So, can God, if Adam and Eve hadn't, if Adam and Eve hadn't have sinned, and she had told Satan to take a hike, called Adam with this sudden event and another day of her life, when her reptilian pet starts talking to her. Don't you think that's a little bizarre? If your dog starts talking to you, you got a problem. But you said, my dog does talk to me. Then never mind. had they resisted the temptation, had the temptation been thrown off and resisted, then right then and there, Satan would have been judged. And they would have went on and had children, and this earth would have been populated with people without a sin nature and without a need to be saved. That's the whole point. Well, that didn't happen. So here we are. So what I'm trying to get at is, I'm probably getting ahead of myself, and I am. Those existing under eternal life in a natural body will be ruled by those who reside in the New Jerusalem in resurrection bodies, such as Jesus Christ currently possesses. Those who start up the eternal civilization will consist of believers brought over into the eternal state, or the new earth, from the millennial age in natural bodies, just as those who make up the millennial phase are those who survive the trib. The people on earth today after the rapture, there's so many of these people that are going to survive the horrific judgments of the tribulation worldwide, Jews and Gentiles. And they will be the seed population for starting up the millennium. It'll probably be fairly amazing how few people survive in their natural bodies. Unbelievers will be removed from the earth. There'll be unbelievers that go through the millennium that won't die. But everybody that remains after the dust is settled, so to speak, and the judgments are over, everybody, wherever they're at on earth, hiding in a hole in the ground somewhere, in a remote spot, angels will be sent out and airlift them to Israel. In other words, somebody's at the door. And this angel will airlift these people. I will send out my angels. They will collect all the remnant of the tribulation. They'll bring them into the Middle East and stand before Christ in one of the judgments. On his left will be the goats. That's the unbelievers, a symbol for unbelievers. On the right, the sheep. That's in Matthew 25. The goats will be baptized in fire, and what will be left of their bodies is little ashes on the ground people will walk over. And the others will get the opposite treatment. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You're the pioneers. You're the pioneers of the new civilization. And it will be from the different nations and different ethnic groups, and they will fan out, you know. And imagine, and it could just be a handful. And we're going here, and we're going there, and start up new nations. It's a slow process. Survival first, you got to eat, you know. But then as they have children, this thing will start to build. At first, it won't look like much. Other than all these resurrected believers and the glory of Jerusalem and all that, and the fact that the whole earth will be cleaned up. He won't leave it like it was for humans to have to clean it up. All the pollution, the oceans will be wrecked. They'll have to be restocked. God's great big fish tank. He'll restock it, just like in Genesis. We'll get to see some of that action going on, and the redoing of the lower creation, so we don't have thorns and thistles, noxious weeds. There are plants out there that'll kill you. There are really some bad things out there, and all the bad insects, creepy crawly things, etc., etc., and ferocious animals that will be changed. So humans will run into that immediately. They won't have to be walking around worrying about getting attacked by a bear. You know, it's funny. And of course, all the questions biologically can't be answered until you get there. It's not possible, you know, crying out loud, how a lion can be turned into a vegetarian. They die. Their whole apparatus and everything is for killing and tearing and ripping meat and eating in a big lion and on one setting up to 30 pounds of meat. So now we can understand a bear. They can eat fish, they can eat berries and stuff. So all this is going to be redone. It's going to be reset. It's in Isaiah and elsewhere. You can read about it. It sounds like something out of a what? And then of course, you know, and I will never be able to answer the questions until we get there. It's like heaven and a lot of other things. So a snake, a cobra, one of the most deadly snakes on earth. You know, the one they charm? Who takes that up for a living? Men do everything, don't they? How do you knock out their venomous side? Because they have to paralyze their prey, neutralize it by injecting the venom into it, causing the animal to be paralyzed. Those that kill it that way. But they found a monster boa constrictor. What that thing weigh? It was unbelievable. Brenda knows, I forgot. What would it weigh? 215 pounds. One snake. Boa constrictor. And they wrap themselves around like a small animal, crush it, and then swallow it whole. And what do sharks do for food? why they got all those teeth. And they keep falling out and they grow new ones. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? The tooth falls out, you grow a new one. I mean, beyond babyhood. Put dentists out of business, wouldn't it? I think a lot of things have happened to our genetics as a result of the fall that might surprise us. I think there's a lot of things that went on besides the aging gene and a sin nature. I think a lot of little things got knocked out of whack that causes people to lose their hair, have gray hair, or whatever it is. There's more to it than this. But I'm off subject, but I do that sometimes. Forgive me. So, what do we got here? Those who start up the eternal civilization will consist of believers brought over into the eternal state from the millennial age in natural bodies. Okay, we gave you that. This study recognizes two types of immortality of body. The first is the kind of immortality Adam and Eve possessed before they fell. Now, I don't mean they couldn't fall down and hurt their biological body. Drown, fall off of something. But their bodies, they were created adults. And had they not fallen and nothing bad befell them after the fact, in fact, the curse that fell down turned these animals, to be the certain of them, to be dangerous to humans. The curse hit the animal kingdom too. So, had they not fallen, this would be like, you know, the old fairy tales with it. Everybody's at peace and everybody's in harmony and nobody's getting hurt and nobody's getting old and there's no funerals and we're having babies and blah, blah, blah. So, that didn't happen. But it's going to happen. This study recognizes two types of immortality. The former is not bulletproof. But we don't have any record that you're going to have to raise people from the dead or that people are going to die of whatever. Imagine billions and billions of people. Nobody has an accident. No one trips and has permanent brain damage or whatever. No. It's perfection with a capital P. The former is not bulletproof, the latter is. Adam and Eve needed air to breathe, food and drink to stay alive. The resurrection body, the full-blown one like Christ has and we're going to get, is impervious to all things that would harm the natural body. It's like the living soul, which is immortal. Anyway, believers in the millennium do not share in the first resurrection. Based on the proper interpretation of Revelation 20, 4 and 5. I guess see here. I got the right one. Okay. Then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded. These are tribulational martyrs. Those that wouldn't take the mark under the Antichrist rule. They're going to go to the trouble to behead people? This is kind of an occultic thing. There's a special, for them, meaning in cutting the head off versus killing someone in a less gory or obvious way. Beheading was the way they killed people during the French Revolution. The guillotine. So these are believers who have their heads cut off. And because of the word of God and those who had not worshipped the beast nor his image and had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand, they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, pick one of these. We'll take a European. Some European person. The rapture occurs. It's not a believer. Hears all this. Believes in Jesus Christ. Won't take the mark. And gets his head cut off. And this is going to be a lot of people. However many years till the end of the millennium, he and those that fall into that category will be raised from the dead. They'll be given a full-blown resurrection body. Always know my distinction between full-blown and just a regular Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead or something. And they came to life and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Boy, that's a pretty good trade-off. All you had to do is get your head chopped off. I know it doesn't sound inviting. All you had to do is get your head chopped off. Your soul goes to heaven. You're immediately in no pain. And then the second advent occurs, and your soul's pulled out of heaven, and your head's put back on your body, so to speak. You're given a resurrection body. Not a bad trade-off. And you're given a, because you honored the Lord in the trib by saying no to the system, you're going to get a distinction, and you didn't even spend that many years. In some cases, hardly a year. You're just basically a believer, but you knew enough from the Bible and heard the information and acted on it. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Okay, now, blessed is the one who has part in the first resurrection. Over those, the second death has no power. They don't have to worry about that. Hell and beyond. But they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. All right, the primary focus of these two verses is tribulational martyrs. B, under Roman numeral 2, they are resurrected at the second advent. And they, like the church, reign with Christ during the millennial phase. At the second advent, all believers prior to that time are raised from the dead. From the beginning of man till the last believer, let's say, is martyred or dies in the trib. They will all get a resurrection body. That's the first resurrection. Back up. The first resurrection has the following categories. Number one, Christ. He's the only one currently with a resurrection body. He got his some almost 2,000 years ago. Two, guess who steps up at the head of the line? Church age saints. We get ours at the rapture. People like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're still waiting for their resurrection body. Their souls are still in heaven. At the second advent, all Old Testament saints, all of them, and tribulational casualties of believers, then they'll get their resurrection. This is the first resurrection. And we could break it down even further, but I'll there's two fellows that get their resurrection body at the midpoint of the trib. What? Moses and Elijah. They're beheaded. They are beheaded by the Antichrist. They have a 3.5-year ministry that nobody can touch them. But there's a war between them and the Antichrist. A war of words and otherwise. One of my members back in the day says, wouldn't it be interesting? Because the Antichrist, okay, he's raised, he died back in 333, around 333 BC, at age 33. Alex died. So he gets resurrected on the day of the rapture. Okay? That means his soul is brought out of hell and his body, wherever the remains are, will come out of that sarcophagus, that mummified state, and will be proven to people it's his DNA. Anyway, he's raised. His soul is brought out. His body is redone. And as I was talking to someone before class, he will be downloaded with information, past, present, and future, like you can't believe. He'll be able to think circles around the average intelligent, in-the-know, politico, whatever you want to call him. He'll have every answer. He has to. He can't work his way to the top and prove himself. He's going to be proving himself right and left. He's going to say things and they're going to be true. He's going to do things and they're going to be successful. He goes to war, it is going to be some stalemate. He's going to know what moves to make when he pulls together this 10-nation confederation. Then, in the midpoint of the tribulation, he's assassinated. Well, this person said to me, what if he's assassinated by one of the judgments brought down out of heaven by the two witnesses? These are the two fellows from the past that pop up on the earth at the rapture, which we've identified as the revisitation of Moses and Elijah in the modern world, set out there in the Judean wilderness outside Jerusalem where John the Baptist started his ministry, crying in a wilderness. And the way they won't just be able to be dismissed, oh, a few prophets and blah, 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 is because they will bring environmental judgments at their word on the nations. Both Moses and Elijah were miracle-working prophets. Most of the prophets, no, they didn't do miracles. Daniel didn't do miracles. He was the object of a miracle or two, but he didn't do any. But they were miracle-working. Moses, as we know, and Elijah, the fire out of heaven trick. And they will bring these environmental judgments, and it says the whole world will hate them. But at the same time, they will have a message that goes with it. And they will be calling Israel that is peaking in their positive volition to the Lord. They will have 144,000 converts just from young male Jews who are virgins, who form up the 144,000, and they'll take over the ministry and carry on after that. But Moses and Elijah, their main focus is Israel, but everyone's going to hear their message because they will be nightly news talk. You can't hide this. When you have contaminated someone's major river, that will tend to get their attention. And you've sent all kinds of assassins out there to kill them, and it doesn't work. It's frustrated. It's like they live in a bubble. But the person said that, what if he kills the Antichrist? And then God pops the Antichrist back on their feet. It makes a lot of sense when you read the verse in Thessalonians. God says, I'm going to send the human race strong delusion that they'll believe the lie. If your presupposition is negative volition, then we're going to just feed you right down into it. You may not think that's a righteous thing, but apparently it's okay with God. I'm going to send you want to follow Satan, and I'm going to send you strong delusion. And underline the word strong. This will be very powerful. If you didn't have doctrine in your soul, and squared away, and you saw this guy on the human stage, this Antichrist, Alex revisited, you'd be inclined to join his fan club. There'll be t-shirts and all kinds of stupid stuff. So when he is killed the second time, so his soul goes boom, he's brought back boom, his followers go berserk. Who can make war with the beast? And they will call him the beast. And he will make no bones about it. He'll say, I am God. He will stand in the temple that will be defiled in Jerusalem and declare himself deity, and that no other religion is tolerated. None of them. We're going to crush every one of them. The only thing worth worshiping is me, Lucifer, under the false prophet. Now, he won't succeed in wiping them all out. That's a lot of work. But that's the whole idea. He sits in the temple. He declares all religions forbidden. The true faith and all the other stuff. No, he won't conquer the whole world. One, he doesn't have time. That isn't God's plan. But he will overrun nations right and left. It'll be like Alexander of old, except in a modern venue. He will absolutely make war and get it done fast. That was Alexander invading the area leading to the overthrow of the Persian Empire. The Persians had greater numbers, big armies. He had better tactics. He had better tactics, and he was fearless. He took risks, calculated risks. And he wasn't an armchair general. He was out in front. And that just inspired the hell out of his men. He'd do stupid stuff well. Taking a city, he'd be the first one to jump down on the wall, and all these other guys are coming at him. And his soldiers are jumping down there to protect him. He got a few wounds out of the deal. That's what turned him on. Combat. When it was all over, he was kind of like, oh, I'm going to go home and sit around and look at my coins. That was him. So, blonde hair, blue eyed, Alexander the Great. And so, Moses and Elijah will be executed. And those that had been hurt by their judgments will be celebrating. They said they'll be exchanging gifts. I don't think it's going to be celebrating Christmas. They're exchanging gifts. They're celebrating, partying. Never underestimate the ability of people in bad times to party. Do not. Anyway, all the media will be focused on these two decapitated corpses. It'll be like streaming on there constantly for 3.5 days. I believe it's 3.5. And then a voice comes. Well, everybody's watching and celebrating. We got rid of these. Well, yeah, we're going to win. See how those stupid people are. Why don't you turn to the book of Revelation and find out how it ends? But oh no, we don't want to do that. So we're celebrating, and out of heaven comes a voice. It's God. Like during the ministry of Christ, a voice out of heaven. Come up here. It says they will stand on their feet. Of course, their heads are put back on their bodies. And they get to mimic an ascension like the ascension of Christ. When Christ left in his ascension, he didn't go out of here just like that. He went up like this. And all these 500 disciples were watching. And they're rubbernecking all the way up until they can't see him, because obviously you can only see so far. And some angels said, what are you looking up in heaven for? The same Jesus whom you saw go, he will come back. You got a task to do. And isn't stand here on the Mount of Olives, oh, and look and hope you see, can see him coming or something. You know, so that's in Acts 2. So they're going to get their resurrection body then, and they'll go on to heaven. Like I've always said, the fun's in the details if you're positive. But you have to be an avid student and have a desire to understand these things. So see, the sentence in verse 5, which reads, the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed, is a reference to the resurrection of all unbelievers from, that should be from all believers. How'd I miss that? All believers from all the dispensations. I'm going to correct that. Oh, well, I got to. That's stupid. They constitute the second resurrection. The rest of the dead do not refer to millennial saints, as this statement is a parenthetical commentary. All right. Okay, I'm going to pick this up, clean it up Tuesday. All right, let's everybody get in place, and we're going to observe the Lord's table one more time.